This is the Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And that is hammered! Oh my!
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry. You know, anything travels that far ought to have a damn stewardess on it, don't you think?
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it?
You're listening to The Roundtable with Grant Brisby, Andy McCullough, and Mark Carrig on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 44 of The Roundtable. I'm Grant Brisby. I'm here with Andy McCullough and Mark Carrig. Mark, you're back. We missed you. Levi was on last week. He sucked. He was terrible. So you got to clean up his mess. No, I'm kidding. How you doing? Let's start with Mark. Mark, I love your jersey here.
Thanks. The Norfolk Tides wore this on Saturday night and scored 21 runs against Gwinnett.
Now, I don't want to break this to you, but this is an audio medium. And so even though we do have a YouTube show, no one can see your jersey on a podcast. It's like, you know, iPods, like they put them on the iPods. And so it's like streaming into their ears. So maybe describe the jersey.
I'll describe this. This is a Norfolk Lumpias jersey for Filipino American Heritage Night or something. Like, I don't know the exact name for it, but there's a lot of Filipinos down that way because the Navy is down that way. And if you've ever been around the Navy, you know, it's a bunch of dudes that look like me. So anyway, Trent Rosecrans, who is, you know, the most Filipino, non-Filipino person that I know, sent me the link and said, oh my God, dude. And so he went and bought a hat. I went and bought a shirt or a jersey. My wife saw what I was doing, said, get me a shirt. So I got her a shirt. And so here we are. And like, so yeah, the Norfolk Tides playing as Olympia scored 21 runs in their game. They were also 2.5 hours late for first pitch, but that's okay. That's all right. I don't know if there's a better way to honor our heritage than to be late. That's just how it is. You know, Grant getting all uncomfortable and red. It's okay, dude. We're all friends. It's okay.
Super uncomfortable. See, yeah, but super. I have Filipino bona fides. I lived in Daly City for a year. Oh, man. So, like, you know, I...
That grants you citizenship. Andy, I don't know if you've ever been to Daly City, but imagine Manila.
No.
But hillier. And colder.
Hillier Manila?
Yeah, hillier, yeah. Colder Manila, and it's a Daly City. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is freezing.
Mark, do you think you would have been drummed out of the Navy as quickly as my dad drummed me out of the construction business?
Probably faster.
All right, what's your worst flaw as a construction guy, Andy? What is your shittiest contribution to the construction arts?
I mean, just abject laziness. Like, just not following the assignment, just like 90 minutes into the workday, asking if it was lunchtime. Now, to be clear, I was like 13. So, you know, I was really only responsible for just like picking crap up, basically. And even that, I was like, yeah, my back hurts. My dad's like, you're 13. You're not allowed to have, you know, your back hurt, I guess.
Did you bring this information to a vocational counselor at your high school? And they're like, well, you should be a baseball writer.
No.
Laziness. Like, that was like the number one box they checked off.
No, my high school guidance counselor, encouraged me to, I wanted to go to Georgetown, and she, encouraged me to apply for the Walsh School of Foreign Service, which is like more exclusive than like every Ivy combined. They let in like 6 kids a year, and they're all like the sons of diplomats. So, you know, I became a sports writer.
Did you actually go there? No, you just applied there? Or
to Georgetown?
Yeah.
Do you think I would ever speak to a person like you, Grant, if I didn't, like, hadn't become a baseball writer and had gone to an august institution like that?
I don't know. Well, I figure if you had gotten into that school, you would have been there with a bunch of dorks that, like, carried briefcases to junior high, and you would have bounced.
I'd be incredibly rich and committing evil across the globe.
That does sound good.
Well, he could have also gone there and like gotten the degree, then still ended up doing this like an idiot, and then starting every podcast with things like, well, ahoy, Paloy.
That's just how I start every phone conversation that Mark and I have.
All right, we got baseball to talk about. Turns out that they have like games every day.
Every day, man.
It's wild. It's wild. Do you think that football writers are weenies? Because I do. Like one game a week, and then we get to talk about it and then preview the next game. Bunch of weenies, but no, we're talking baseball. Let's start with the Rays. I guess the Rays are the talk of baseball. The Rays, man. They are 10-0 as of this recording. They will never lose again, as the Chiron says. And let me get there, because we're nerds. Their run differential. They have scored 76 runs. They have allowed 18. That seems okay. That seems like it'll play.
I was reading something on the Associated Press, just had a little game recap from the Rays winning 11-0 over the A's. I was reading this on Sunday, and it said that Jeffrey Springs had thrown 7 scoreless innings. And I was like, no, that's not true. It was Drew Rasmussen. Like, wow, what an embarrassing, you know. I was like, that's so weird. I hope they correct that. And then I realized, no, that was the day before they won 11-0 over the A's.
Well, listen, man, like, I think Tampa Bay, obviously off to a great start, I think they're underachieving a little bit. I mean, the Pythagorean is like 9-1. Like, that's 9-1.
That's a great point.
Or getting lucky, rather, not underachieving. They're just getting a little bit lucky.
I mean, yeah, they're a bit over their skis.
Yeah, a little over their skis at 10-0 by one win. I was just curious, because like when you said 76 runs, what does that work out to? Like, what does your Pythagorean have to be for it to be 10-0?
That's a great question, because they've won the first 9 games by 4 runs or more.
Yeah, then won a classic 1-0, we're going to suffocate you, Tampa Bay Rays ball game last night.
I can calculate this real quick. If you just enter the run scored and the number of games.
Here comes the abacus. And,
nope, I'm an English major. Sorry. I got nothing. But it's at some point, I would guess that you round up instead of down, and then you get 10-0. Because it's ridiculous. And there's a lot of talk, and rightfully so. Like, listen, they opened the season with the Tigers. They played the Nationals in Washington. Then they got to go home again for the A's. They've played one functional team, and that's the Red Sox. As of this recording, they won 1-0, so not a blowout. Maybe they're just a very, very, very good team. I don't think, like, yes, they didn't play anyone really in the first 9 games. At the same time, what do you expect? Like, what do you want from them to do? They blew them out.
I guess the question, though, is like, does this change your opinion at all about the end game for the Rays? Does it change how you feel about them as a team? For me, like, it doesn't. Right? Like, I thought they were a good team. I thought they're going to make the postseason. I think they are going to struggle to hit elite pitching. But they're, you know, they're really good. They're a good club. If they didn't play in the American League East, you could, you know, look at this team as like, oh, 95 wins. Like, we'll see. You know, maybe they'll get a bye. And in the American League East, it's like, oh, maybe they'll get third. You know, maybe they'll win the division. We'll see. So I don't know. I tend to be an underreactor, I guess, to things. But it's certainly like they look good. They're playing well.
When I get a team like this and they're surprising, they're blowing the doors off everyone, I look to how they're doing it and I see, does this align with my preseason? Like, if this happens, like if this very plausible thing happens, this team could go bananas. And is that sort of thing going on? And so for me, watching Wander Franco kind of go nuts, that's one of those things where, okay, if that happens, the Rays might move from pretty good team in the AL East to, this is something. And Randy Arozarena, like, I think he has another level. We see it in the postseason, in the WBC. If he hits that other level, maybe the Rays are something closer to an elite team, and that's happening. And you're getting the pitching, of course. The starting pitching is absurd, but also, like, very specifically, Zach Eflin, is he going to, like, they chose him and they gave him a huge contract for the Rays and really put all their chips on him and said, no, we think this guy's going to work. We're pretty committed to him. And that looks good too. So everything that I, like, my kind of benchmarks for, is this going to be a Rays team that's closer to an elite team than a very good team, have been hit? Doesn't mean anything. Still 10 games. But I am kind of going, ooh.
Well, let's go back to 2 weeks ago as we were previewing the American League East. And I think one of the points that I'd raised with this club was that all right, if this was the old school and they were playing all those AL East teams 19 times, it's a little bit of a different forecast, but they're not doing that anymore. And instead of having those extra games against Toronto or New York, you're getting Oakland, you're getting Cincinnati, you're getting, you know, like just pick a rando, right? Team that the Rays are a good team. I think we all agreed upon that right away. Well, what do good teams do? They win the games they're supposed to win. Now, they do. And look what they've done. They've taken care of business. And what I'm interested in seeing, I mean, obviously, when you look at some of these numbers, these are not sustainable. But can you envision this lineup taking advantage of some really bad pitching? Sure. Absolutely. Can you see this pitching staff just choking the life out of some like fourth place team that they're getting extra cracks at this year? Absolutely. And I think it adds up over time. So yeah, still an uphill climb. And certainly you're not going to look at, you know, some of these numbers that we're seeing now and like think that they're all sustainable. They're obviously not. But what is sustainable to me is that I look at a team on paper that these guys can take care of business against teams that are clearly inferior. And if you do that, that's 90 wins right there. It feels like, right? You're now at a 90 win level, and then it becomes, all right, how are these guys stacking up against that elite pitching? Maybe they still struggle against it, right? Because the lineup depth is still going to be a thing. But the thing about the Rays is that they're going to catch the ball and they're going to prevent runs. That means they're always going to be in those games. And when they're in those games, it's a coin flip. And if it breaks their way, now all of a sudden you see it, you know, being a little bit better than, let's say, a 90 win projection. So, you know, obviously the numbers that we're seeing are not going to linger on, but them beating up on like teams, I can see that lingering on.
I can't get over how bad these teams are.
Oh, they're brutal.
I was just looking through like the lineups. I mean, it's like the one thing, right, is that they have 10 wins banked. They're just like in the bank. That's what banked means. They just have them. And they have a bit of a small cushion. Now, it can go away with a bad week, but this is the sort of team that is built to, like, not have good weeks. They're going to pitch enough where, you know, they're going to be in most games. So it's certainly, like, redounds to their benefit. It certainly is a good thing to have. I just don't know, like, if Wander Franco and Randy Arozarena level up, all of a sudden the ceiling on this team levels up. Like, let's see them face like a team that is like competent.
I just can't get over their pitching factory, and it is as absurd as almost anything I've ever seen. Like, Brad Pitt should come out of retirement and make a darn movie about this, because it's wild. As far as like Jeffrey Springs, you know, the Red Sox basically gave him to a division rival because he was approaching 30. He was a nondescript pitcher. He just kind of floated around the majors with 6 and 7 ERAs. The Rays were able to look at that and not just make him a functional starter, but weaponize him. And the ability to do that is wild to me. And I talked to someone who worked for the Rays in the offseason, and he was saying after the Zach Eflin deal was announced, he said, we don't have to do anything with Zach Eflin. We don't have to teach him a new splitter or something like that. We can just take Zach Eflin and say, here's how we think you should get hitters out, and he can throw the ball wherever he wants to, and he'll be much better. And, you know, he was already pretty good, but now he's much better. And they just have this, they can see in like 7 dimensions when it comes to pitching. And that's important to say.
You know, the pitching factory part, like, right, we've seen it for so many years now, and it really is remarkable. Another thing they do really well is when they go out there and make a trade, make an acquisition, they're hitting. Yeah, like they're like Isaac Paredes, for instance. I mean, my goodness, right? And like what's happened with Austin Meadows, obviously it's terrible. You know, hasn't been on the field. It's horrible. And you know, hope that he gets through this, right? And by the way, like talk about some like guts to just say what it is that way. I am actually like heartened by the fact it seems like the stigma around mental health is easing little by little. You know, you're always going to have like the outlier idiot, you know, on Twitter saying stupid shit. But like, I looked through the other day just because I was curious and was like surprised and like in a good way of how little relatively that was. Like, as you imagine, like even a few years ago, it'd be a bit of a different ratio. So, but anyway, you know, Paredes is just such a great example to me of, you know, they make a trade, hits 20 home runs last year, off to a good start this year. He's going to be a crucial piece for them. And I think that almost gets overlooked with this group, right? Because the pitching and what they're able to do with run prevention is so well documented, and you see it every year. But man, they make a trade and they always end up with a useful player, it seems like. Somebody who's going to help a club win some ball games. So, and Paredes is another example of that just a year ago.
Yeah, I do remember when that trade was made. I thought, I have no idea who Isak Paredes is, but I look forward to seeing him at the All-Star game in 2 years.
It's the Sam Miller tweet. We're just going to keep going back to it.
Getting into their sort of transactional nature, which is what they've been for so long, right? They like... it's something that is both, like, depending on your perspective, it's admirable or it's craven or whatever. It's some mixture, right? They just churn. They churn through the roster. They, you know, they're not afraid to make heartless, you know, ruthless is what Eric Neander said to me a couple of years ago. Like, they're not afraid to be ruthless, right, when it comes to making these moves. They're in a really interesting spot, I think, long term. Because, you know, I wrote about this a little bit the other day. You look at that roster, right? You got Wander Franco forever. Okay, you got all these pitchers for 4 or 5 years. You have Randy Arozarena still for several years. Like, the team is there. And if they want this to be the group, they can ride with this group for a while, right? It's like, it's similar to what the Braves have, except for they're not spending any money, right? Like, because they've got all these, you know, sort of pre-arb guys, and they rode out some growing pains with younger players last year. You know, they've signed, like, Springs to, you know, an extension. They have Eflin for a few years. They even have Glasnow for next year with an option for 25. Like, they have the thing that, you know, the people from the Stu Sternberg tree talk about. They have optionality. Like, they can do nothing and they'll be okay. And they can also be in a position to do everything.
Here's something that a fast start affords them in a team that situation, because we've talked about it before. They've tried to sign, they've made good faith efforts to sign a bigger hitter or a bigger star. It's hard for them because they play in front of, you know, 10,000 people or what have you. It's not the most glamorous franchise as far as, you know, going into a dome and this and that. But now when you have this fast start, you're not at the deadline going, well, you know, we're kind of in the thick for this wild card. And if this pans out, if they're just lapping the field and there comes a player like Juan Soto or someone who is under contract for a while, for a couple years, if there's going to be, I don't know if it's the Brewers trading Corbin Burns, or if there's just going to be someone that they can get that can be that sort of cornerstone, and that player doesn't have a choice. You know, he's got to go to the Rays because he's traded. That might be what this fast start affords them, is just the ability to be confident and go out and get someone that's around for a few years.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I just want to make clear, the official position of this podcast, right, which is my opinions, we don't know that they're going to be lapping the field. They played 10 games. The Yankees and Blue Jays are good.
This is true. I just think they're closer to that
They have a four-game reality. They have a four-game lead. They haven't played the Yankees yet. The Yankees are very good.
Yeah, and they got Toronto coming up here pretty soon, too. So yeah, that'll be fun. But, like, protected.
It would be funny if they were, like, 23-1 or something. We just had to come on here every week and talk about the
And
race.
We're still just like, I don't know. It's early. I don't know. But, like, you know what? If anything, this is just a reminder of a couple of really important things. Like, okay, Grant, you're talking about no one watches him. It's unglamorous, right? This is the classic Rays mentality. When you talk to people in that organization and you say that, they look at you like, well, yeah, and it's an awesome advantage. You're like, what? Like, in a way, it is, because, like, you can try all of this different stuff there without the same scrutiny that you would face everywhere else. Now, look, you hear that, and, like, I've laughed in people's faces there. I was like, okay, whatever. But, like, at least it does give you an insight into how it is that they're able to pull this off. In every bad scenario, they're looking for a way to turn it into something where they can leverage it, all right? And, like, that's a perfect example right there. Okay, sure, you struggle with the gate. People don't pay attention to them, yet they've managed to find a way to make that positive, which is they're trying a bunch of different things. And so they start 10-0. This is not like a projection where you think, well, they're going 162-0 despite what the Chiron just said. But it is a reminder that they keep doing different things and it keeps working. And that's the latter part, right? Like, we've seen clubs like kind of be ahead of things and like they don't stay ahead of things. Okay, we're talking about the transactional nature of this team. The Oakland A's operated that way for a while too. All right. Now, I know that there's outside factors.
Yeah, they chose to stop operating that way, though. They chose that.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, like Tampa Bay keeps trying stuff. It keeps working. And I think that's fun. All right. Like they and so, but I'm really interested in how Andy framed that. The Chiron says you can't spell Rays without A. It's very good. You know, but what Andy's talking about is interesting to me, that you can do nothing, you can do everything. And what a fun spot to be in. We're talking about Carlos Correa, obviously, in the offseason, and he ends up with Minnesota, and what did it take, right? Like, it took two failed physicals. It took an ankle that sounds like a tuning fork for a piano. It took all this crazy stuff. And I'm kind of wondering, like, hey, what about the Rays? It would be fun to watch it sort of fall into their lap somehow. And, like, because they have made good faith efforts to get guys like Freddie Freeman. Like, I don't know, after toiling this way and after facing all of the challenges that they face, I think it would be kind of a nice thing from the baseball gods to let them freaking have them. Throw them a bone. Let one of those guys at the trade deadline end up falling in their lap somehow. Because I don't know, I think the way they've operated has been overall pretty admirable. And that's what the start sort of reminds us of, I think.
I will say that I will walk back my comments that the Rays are undesirable a little bit, because I want to point out that I cover the Giants, who also have really struggled to sign a star, whether it's Bryce Harper or trading for Giancarlo Stanton, because it's hard for any team to get these players. There's a finite amount of them, and they have agency. Literally, it's in the name, free agency, and they get to go where they want to go, and there are 30 teams, and not every team's going to get that star. You know, maybe if it's the Padres throwing an extra year and extra $30 million at someone is what it takes. But in general, it's hard to get a star, and so we shouldn't besmirch the Rays' good name all the time. I think it's just tough to go out there and convince someone that you're it. Maybe they'll be better at it going forward.
Well, you also have to convince them, hey, do you want to play your home games in front of half-empty crowds? Which, like, maybe that'll change as the stadium situation gets, fixed up or how whatever's going to, there's that bridge and traffic.
It really does suck. I mean, it's not easy to get to.
Yeah, whatever. But, like, you know, that makes the sell tougher, especially when, you know, they tend to offer, like, market value. You know, so if you're Freddie Freeman and you're choosing between two deals that are relatively similar financially, even if you're leaving money off the table with the tax situation by going to California, do you want to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers in front of a packed crowd where they have new lights? Or do you want to play in the Trop where they have no lights? Like, it's, you know, it's tough. I love the Trop, by the way. I love the Trop. Best ballpark in baseball.
There it is. There's the ball rider take right there. Best ballpark in baseball, the Trop.
I think if I'm just your standard baseball superstar, you have to phrase it like, do you want to go to Florida and live with the salt of the earth people? Or do you want to play in California where like 40% of your salary goes to fund Gavin Newsom's agenda? What do you really want? What's important to you once you have enough money, pal? That's how I'd frame it.
Oh boy, Grant. Someone just filed his taxes and got his California return back. Mm-hmm. It was like, what?
I'm teasing. We don't get political on the pod, except when we talk about Union First, players. What's the catchphrase? I forgot the catchphrase.
We're the only pro-labor podcast.
The only pro-labor podcast. That's right. That's right.
We salute our minor league brethren.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show. Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. One more great product from LinkedIn. You're there to network, you're there to look for jobs, you're there to post jobs. And how about LinkedIn Sales Navigator? It's a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/baseballshow. That is linkedin.com/baseballshow for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/baseballshow and get started.
This bleeds into the question of, when do you start taking April statistics seriously, or early season statistics seriously? When do you stop being, Rays are 10-0, that's cute, they beat a bunch of bad teams, come back in blank and see where they're at? Is it May? Is it June? Is it, for me, it's November 1st, where I get to look back and say, yeah, I see how that happened. So, like, when do you start trusting stuff?
I do feel like sometimes as an industry, we would better serve the consumer if we didn't write anything from opening day until like May 15th.
Yes.
And we just sort of showed up on May 15th and we're like, all right, what's been going on? And then, like, you know, did like a Roger Angel, like, you know, like 1 5,000-word story about the team you cover. And be like, hey, here's the deal. And then I'll have some daily stuff coming forward, because everything else I probably made too big a deal of.
Talking about 5,000 words, like, it's Roger Angel. That's a notebook on this website.
Spoken like a true Redditor.
Yeah, that's a man who was editing some copy when he came back from vacation.
I err so much on the side of my previous preconceptions, to the point where, like, I remember in 2000 and Albert Pujols breaks camp with the Cardinals, and I'm going, come on, this guy's had, he's 21 years old, he's had like 100, 120 games of A-ball. No way. And he's like hitting, and someone on my fantasy league's like, oh, I got to get this guy. And I'm like, no, it's going to, trust me, fellas. Like, I've never heard of this guy. He's going to fall back, and then he doesn't. So I always err on that side where I'm missing the boat, and then I look and go like, whoa, that team's pretty good. And so, like, it's always, I'm always late on the boat, and I think there's a happy medium where it's not April, but I don't think it's like July. Like, my, you know, ass is sinking.
I think it's sooner than it used to be. Because, yeah, right, the statistics that are sort of that Statcast, they normalize a little bit sooner. So I think it's not easier, but like you have at least something with some backing to help you spot the ones where it's like, there might be something real like about that. Like Matt Chapman, I think of Matt Chapman, right? Like you look, he was player of the month or player of the week and all this stuff. you know, you see he's hit like 400 or whatever it is. It's crazy. But then you also look and see that he's leading the league or really close to it in exit velocity right now. You know, again, it's a small sample, but with statistics like that, the sample doesn't have to be as big as, let's say, a batting average or whatever to put some stock into it. So I think it's easier to at least like look and be like, hey, you know, there might be something to that. And Matt Chapman like popped into my mind right away as one of the guys right now where you're like, whoa, that's interesting, especially obviously him going into his walk here. Right? Like it's the timing's great, but you know, we've had enough sample size where it at least makes you pay attention to it a little bit more. And if this goes on for another couple weeks and the exit velocities sort of stay the same, you're just like, oh boy, you know, now all of a sudden it's like this guy, you know, this could be a dude, like big time guy for them, where I mean their lineup was dangerous already, right? To have Matt Chapman operating at that kind of capacity was silly. I mean, speaking of that, Vlad Guerrero Jr. right now, holy smokes. Anyway.
But they haven't played the Rays yet, so.
That's right. Big test. It actually, huge, I mean, that's.
Huge series.
About an early season series, like, that's pretty damn good, right?
It's
good,
like, show me eight series in April.
Oh, man, because the Jays, like, have played all these crazy-ass games, and they've won a couple of them just by, like, basically out-slugging the other guys, right? So. That's a sight to behold if that lineup continues to just tear it up, because that might be deeper than we even thought, which is crazy. But anyway, that's what I think in a week or less than a week from now, Rays and Jays. So that should be fun.
That's a great point, because we are talking about almost like a, you know, when I was a stat nerd in my early days and like last year, like it was all about like, here's what this player did. And here's what we can extrapolate that going forward. Here's his body of work, minor league, major league. Here's what he has done, these numbers, his strikeout to walk ratio going forward. And we're just going to ignore batting average because that fluctuates. And that's how we're going to make our decisions. But we're in a post-statistic world in a way where it's now just, it's the biomechanics. It's the seam shifted wake. It's the spin rate. It is like you're taking this physical data, and it's not just numbers, but you're analyzing how they're performing physically. And you get a team like the Rays that says, Zach Eflin, his career ERA with the Phillies was what? I'm going to look this up right now. It was... with the Phillies, 4.49, right? Over 129 starts. And the Rays can look at him and go, nope, should be better. You know, he was better later in his career than he was earlier in his career. But they can just see through those numbers and go, no. What he does, you can't teach. But what we can teach him, he can apply what he already can do, and boof. And that's just how it's going to be for all these teams. And so, yeah, it's a great point. It stabilizes a lot quicker for a lot of these teams.
It happens so fast.
Grant, Eflin gave up 3 runs in 6 innings against the A's. You have got to chill. You have to chill out.
That's a quality start, my dude. That's a
Carrig could make it through the third against the A's.
Do we want to play, like, who's on the A's right now? I mean, have you looked at...
No, you don't.
Tony Kemp, let's go.
Tony Kemp.
Tony Kemp's an Oakland Athletic.
Yeah, Shintaro Fujinami.
He's an Oakland Athletic.
He is, I feel really bad for him because he has had a great career with the Hanshin Tigers, but he's always, always struggled with command. And now he's just going to like the one major league team that has, like, they don't even have an analytics department anymore. They've got, like, ChatGPT, and they just, like, feed in, like, what are some hot baseball statistics, AI? And, you know, that's all they got right now, because they need someone who can say, here's how to cut down on your walks, formerly excellent professional pitcher. And they just, they can't do it. They're the A's.
You know, his mom was in the ballpark for his big league debut, and I feel like it started off pretty well, and then there was an 8-run inning. And I was just thinking the whole time, like, oh, man, what's a long way to come to watch, you know, your kid just get, like, bludgeoned by the Angels. I think it was the Angels, but, like, oh, it was just brutal. But, like, it was cute and then not cute. You know what I mean? Like, oh, dang it. You know, but anyway, yeah, that's Langoliers. That's an Oakland Athletic.
Kyle Muller, offseason catch partner with Clayton Kershaw. Learn something new every day.
Brian's Chiron says lots of seating available in Oakland, but I have to. What's that apostrophe, man?
What the hell?
Yeah,
what,
dude.
What the hell?
You got 3 riders on here. Well, 2 riders, and I don't know what we call Mark. But again, I've said it on the pod before, and I'll say it again. Terrible for the A's, great for me. I just love space. Just put that canopy up, and you're grilling, and there's nobody around. I can grill like, what's that, like shark that they bury under the snow in Finland and then let it ferment?
You know?
I could grill that. No one's going to give me what for, you know?
That's the one that Steve Cohen bought in formaldehyde? Or is that a different shark?
That's a good one.
We talked last week about, like, you know, which team was in first place, who maybe we bought. Is there, like, a last place team who, like, I guess what I'm asking is, what you got on the Cardinals?
That's what's going to be my pick. Listen, if this keeps going like it's going, Yadier Molina, first ballot Hall of Famer, maybe even waive the 5-year waiting period, because I'm just going to give him all the credit for everything that happened during his reign. Yeah, it's wild. I mean, you've got Goldschmidt's hitting and Arenado's hitting. Wainwright's obviously out. Lars Nootbaar has missed some time, but yeah, I'm not sold on the Cardinals. Yeah, also not sold on the Cardinals.
Same. It is interesting when a team that appears to be pretty good, and I think the Cardinals will be pretty good, but they have a pretty clear deficiency that will probably prevent them theoretically from, you know, attaining a championship, as they say. And it's their starting pitching, right? Like, their starting pitching is just too many fours and fives, right? And it's interesting when a team like that comes out and just immediately provides a sample that matches that opinion. Yeah.
Right.
You know, they do. It's like, oh, yeah, that. No, wait. Wow. That's what I thought was going to happen. That's crazy. You know,
that's about right. And you talk about the Rays pitching factory. And I'm not sure that the Cardinals have that, not necessarily the factory, but the identification. So, like, when you're going out and you've got X amount of clams to spend, and you're looking at, Steven Matz. You know what I mean? It's like some teams have that ability to pluck the correct answer, whether it's Kevin Gausman or someone like that. The Cardinals haven't shown that proclivity, and they've been kind of buoyed for a long time by Adam Wainwright, who's 75 years old, and like he's just like anchored that top of the rotation for so long, it's taken 20% of the guesswork out of their rotation. I guess Jack Flaherty looks good, in, you know, this year.
No. I mean, he's walked 13 guys in 2 games.
Oh, I was a call him off. Oh, that's not good.
I mean, like, that could correct. I will say the one thing with the Cardinals that they have done, that they've actually done really well, and especially at the deadline, is they tend to find. They find guys who will benefit from having the defense behind them, right? They catch the baseball. So they find fives who play up like fours, you know, fours who play up like threes. The problem is that they kind of stop there. And they haven't found a guy who you actually feel great about starting game one. That was supposed to be Flaherty, but the physical issues have kind of been in the way in recent years.
Andy was just describing Jordan Montgomery right there. But, you know, I need some help here because, like, I was on vacation, all right? I took the kids to Disney World, so, I mean, I've been paying some attention, obviously, but, you know, not as locked in as I normally would be. Did O'Neill back over Ollie Marmol's cat? Because there was a big, like, to-do, I guess, between those two. It had to be something like that, right?
There's got to be a little bit deeper of something that's bubbling to the surface. I think, you know, the issue is that he didn't run as hard as perhaps was warranted to score in a play. But that just doesn't come out of nowhere. You're not just cool with a player and then like, whoa, you didn't try and run home as fast as you could, you're dead to me. That's probably not what happened. So I don't know, but that is not helping things. That's for sure.
Not to make too big, because stuff like that's going to happen during a season, okay? And it just so happens that it happened in their first week when they weren't playing very well. You know, I saw the replay of that after seeing the reaction. I was like, geez, how bad was this? And then I looked at the replay. I was like, you know, he wasn't busting it, but he also wasn't, like, jogging either. So, like, what?
Yeah, it seemed he was at, like, cruising speed.
I mean, but it wasn't, like, I thought it was going to be, like, brutal. And, like, that happens sometimes. Right? Where, like, I'm like, dude, these guys aren't perfect. You're playing 162 games. There are going to be times where, like, you misread something or think, like, you're in. And, like, you know, there was a play last week where someone got thrown out because they didn't slide. Right? Like, stuff like this happens all the time. But, like, I just remember thinking, God, the punishment versus the crime ratio seemed off. And so it was weird.
especially since O'Neal is a guy who's dealt with injuries, and it's, and you know, it seems like they've had conversations about, you know, trying to manage that and to not. But it was, you're right, Mark, like watching the play, I wanted to see like, oh, what did he do? Like, does he hit the brakes coming through, coming into third? It's like, no, he just kind of was at like cruising speed. And it's possible that that's just the speed he runs at. You know, he wasn't like visibly busting it, but he also wasn't, you know, visibly jaking it per se. And so the reaction, you're like, okay, something. So, and then for O'Neal to come out the next day and being like, we talked about this. Like, that's not how we do things around here. It's like, oh yeah, this is going great.
Your back is to the play when you're running. So it's like, maybe he just had this sense of, it wasn't going to be as close as it was. I don't know, man. It did seem very, very weird. Maybe it's sort of like I'm erring on the side of logic. Like, it's, you know, if you're a manager, you're going to be doing something for some reason. So he must have done something in the past that's like built this foundation of reasons to be annoyed. I'm not seeing it from here. And it's just, it's bad timing because they are stinking it up early in the season.
Maybe they'll trade him for the 2023 equivalent of Mark Zepchinski and win the World Series. I mean, who knows?
Good drop. Good drop.
All things serve the bean.
Wow, we really just hit a wall, didn't we?
The Cardinals do that to you, man. St. Louis takes the life out of you, man.
I had something to say, and usually what happens when my brain leaves my body and has an out-of-body experience, I just spin, and then one of you starts talking, and then I come back to it. And then it's like the best point of the pod, but I need you guys to kind of lift me up, prop me up when my brain leaves my body.
I will tell you that I have yet to see anything that has really changed my opinion about anything.
That's probably about
that is,
right.
That is my take. Like, I have like a stance for like kind of April baseball, and I've written about this a few times, but it's like none of this matters, but all of it counts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. That's the lens that I just look through it. Like, okay, like I'm not one of those people who's like, well, who cares, you know, that they won 10 games. Like, we'll, you know, but it doesn't really matter, but it counts in the standings.
I used to write on May 15th, I would write an article that it was the stats that we would be talking about, the teams, the players we'd be talking about if April didn't exist. And what I'm doing is I'm taking 15 games worth of action in May, and I'm doing like, wow, this dude's hitting 400. Maybe this is the year for him. And like, I forgot about those columns, and someone brought it up to me, and it warmed my heart because, my gosh, someone actually remembered something I wrote. That's just delightful. But I want to do that again because it is true. Like, it's just, and you can do it in the second half too. Like, all of a sudden 2 weeks in after the All-Star break and you've got the Pirates are 10-0. Like, wow, this is, or not even 10-0, but like 9-3. Like, wow, this is something, right? The Pirates, they're back. It's all, you know, it's all ephemeral.
God, great word.
I didn't know if I used it right or pronounced it right.
Wow. Kind of.
Okay.
I love that. That's like a $20 word on the podcast right now. Yeah, very nice. Huge upgrade.
Thank you. Thank you.
English guy.
Remember this for my review.
That's funny.
Yeah, great. You should bring that back. That's a great, it does like, that's what I'm saying is we should show up on May 15th and just be like, here's what's been going on for the last 6 weeks. Because, you know, every year.
It's so bad.
We got to do discourse about the baseballs. What are the baseballs juiced again this year? Are they not? It'll normalize. Every year, it's like, oh, I'm worried about that guy's velo. And then it's like, oh, actually, it was cold. You know, every year, they're like, oh, there's fewer home runs at Citi Field. It's like, yeah, Steve Cohen built a huge video screen that's going to knock down all the wind. So there actually would be more home runs. I don't know. I botched that joke. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Every year, it's the same thing. And I, like, to prepare for this podcast or to, like, get some ideas for discussion, I stared at the stolen bases for every team and the caught stealings. And it was, like, trying, like, the hamster wheel on my head was just spinning and spinning, trying to make some grand point. And it's like, no, like, it's 2 weeks, and no, we don't have anything. Like, we can't extrapolate, like, oh, this is great news for the Orioles, but it's bad news for the Dodgers. Like, we can't do that, and I hate it.
Well, the only thing that counts are the injuries, right? Really?
Yeah, basically.
Right, because we were talking about the Boston Redskins and Duvall playing center field, and of course, like he gets off to this great start and then gets hurt playing center field. So that part counts, but like that Andy's line is great, right? It was it none of this matters, but all of it counts.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, but it really is just, you know, like it's just injuries at this point.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I don't want to blow your minds. All of this matters. What is this? Wait. Say it again. Say the line.
All of this matters, but none of it counts.
Or no, none of this matters, but all of it counts.
none of this matters, but all of it counts.
How about instead of April baseball, we use that for life. For life in general. None of this matters, but all of it counts. This podcast you're listening to, man, it doesn't matter, but it counts. It counts. Life.
It better.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not going to get these 45 minutes back, and neither will all the roundtable heads.
So let me do some quick math here. No, actual math, not my stupid joke. I have talked with Andy Baggerly, let's do 227 episodes times. We're on for about, 40 minutes at a time. 9,000 minutes, and then you divide that by 60. Oh, this is great podcast. You can get me working this out in real time. 151 hours I've talked to Andy Baggerly about the Giants. And then you do that by hours in a day. That's like 6 days of my life talking to Bags. Is a nice guy. I like Bags. But none of it matters. We're talking like Tyler Heineman and stuff, like Chadwick Tromp. None of it matters. But all of it counts.
One time we were going through my Marriott days that I stayed in Marriott.
That's a bad thing to do.
And, so it came out to like 5 years or something like that in a Marriott. And Bill Plaschke, the esteemed columnist from the LA Times, was like, 5 years? You could have become a doctor.
They don't tear your beds down when you're a doctor, though.
Yeah.
All right. Life. All right. This has been episode 44 of the Baseball Roundtable. Andy, say something about the 2015 Royals.
If they had not played sub 500 baseball in September, they would accurately be remembered as one of the best teams of the decade and not a punchline on this podcast.
There it is.
All right.
I was just looking at the expenses, Andy. Did you put in for that trip for Lorenzo Cain Day?
Look, leave me alone, actually. my personal stance is leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
This is episode 44 of the Roundtable. We will be back next week. We do every week, and we'll talk about baseball because that's what we do. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then.
I was very wrong.